Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
How does the Mormon Church define repentance? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We're looking at Chapter 19 in the manual, Gospel Principles, the 2009 edition, page 107. This chapter is titled Repentance, and we've talked about that subject a lot, but it's always good to go back and look at some of the things that Mormon leaders have said regarding this very important topic. Underneath the subheading of We All Need to Repent, it says this.
What is sin? What effects do our sins have on us? And it says, faith in Jesus Christ naturally leads to repentance.
Now, let me stop you there, because you know what? I agree with that, and I wish Mormons would understand what I mean when I say that. In our last show, we talked about justification by faith. Justification by faith includes the forgiveness of sins, because that's what makes us right or justified in the eyes of the Father. We come to Christ by faith, believing he paid our total debt for sins on the cross, and in return, we give him our unrighteousness, he gives us his righteousness. It's called the imputation of Christ's righteousness. You can read about it in the book of Romans. When a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, they will naturally be led to repent or feel sorry for the things that they have done to offend an all-holy God.
A lot of Mormons would say that Christianity teaches that it's easy believism, that all we have to do is believe and then we can go sin. No, Christianity teaches very clearly that repentance is important, but the cart needs to be behind the horse and not in front of the horse. And here they have it right. Faith leads to repentance.
But they get it wrong on the very next page. Here's what's really odd. On page 109, it says, repentance is the way provided for us to become free from our sins and receive forgiveness for them.
Now we got the cart in front of the horse.
I would strongly disagree with that. If we are justified by faith, our sins are forgiven at that point in time. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
That's 1 John 1:9.
We are made right in the eyes of God when we come to Christ in faith, believing our sins are forgiven. When this manual says that repentance is the way provided for us to become free from our sins and receive forgiveness for them, it implies that we have not received the forgiveness that we so need when we first came to Christ by faith. I guess it goes back to that question, is what kind of faith does a Latter-day Saint have? When I became a Christian, I came to the foot of the cross believing that I needed to be forgiven. I was a sinner in need of God's forgiveness. I needed Jesus to be my Savior. A lot of Mormons, they instead of saying that Jesus is my Savior, they merely like to refer to him as the Savior. The question I like to ask Latter-day Saints is he in fact your Savior? If he is your Savior, what did you need to do in order for him to be your Savior or the one who is the forgiver of your sins? This is where we run into a lot of problems. That next paragraph says, the privilege of repenting is made possible through the atonement of Jesus Christ. In a way we do not fully understand, Jesus paid for our sins. We would agree. Do you know of any Christian that would disagree with that statement? Of course, Jesus paid for our sins. That's where we have agreement. My question is, if Jesus pays for our sins, when is the payment made? When does he pay for the sinner's sin? And I think that's the million-dollar question on this. And what's interesting is that Mormon leaders have answered that question. And one of the Mormon leaders that I think does probably one of the better jobs in the context of Mormonism of answering that question is Spencer W. Kimball, the 12th president of the Mormon Church. His book, The Miracle of Forgiveness, is cited numerous times in Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Spencer Kimball. That book also was mentioned in General Conference for members to read if they want to know what they need to do to receive forgiveness of sins. Now listen to what Spencer Kimball says. He said this in The Miracle of Forgiveness, page 324 and 325. Your Heavenly Father has promised forgiveness upon total repentance and meeting all the requirements, but that forgiveness is not gained merely for the asking. There must be works, many works, and an all-out total surrender with a great humility and a broken heart and a contrite spirit. It depends upon you whether or not you are forgiven and when. It could be weeks, it could be years, it could be centuries before that happy day when you have the positive assurance that the Lord has forgiven you. That depends on your humility, your sincerity, your works, your attitudes. Is that Christianity, Eric?
No, it certainly
isn't.
That
doesn't even come close.
And in fact, when it says Jesus paid for our sins, we have to ask which sins. As a Christian, I would say he's paid for all of our sins. But in Mormonism, and as this chapter points out, and the previous chapter as well, it's about the obedience. It's about what you are doing for God. They quote Spencer Kimball on the bottom of page 109, and this is what he said in Teachings of Presence of the Church on page 38. There is no royal road to repentance, no privileged path to forgiveness. Every man must follow the same course, whether he be rich or poor, educated or untrained, tall or short, prince or pauper, king or commoner. So here we have Spencer Kimball, who you just quoted, and so I think we're doing this in an accurate way and in a fair way, since they're using Kimball as well, and he says there's no privileged path to forgiveness. That's because everybody has to earn it themselves.
If you want to know for sure if you've truly repented, Spencer Kimball tells you how you can know. He says this, there is one crucial test of repentance. This is abandonment of the sin. In other words, you never go back to it. In fact, Harold B. Lee said that. He was the 11th president of the church. In Sermons and Writings of Harold B. Lee, page 321, in one sentence, repentance means turning from that which we have done wrong in the sight of the Lord and never repeating that mistake again. Then we have the miracle of forgiveness. Now, when I ask Latter-day Saints, how many sins must you turn away from and never repeat again? It's almost 99.9%. I get Mormons telling me all of them, to which I simply ask, how are you doing at that? I've never, ever in all my years of ministry have I had a Latter-day Saint saying, yeah, I've done all that. I don't sin anymore. I've abandoned all my sin. I've never met a Mormon who can consistently say that. That's for sure.
On page 110, it goes on after saying that we must recognize our sins and we must feel sorrow for our sins, and it says we must forsake our sins. Now, we would agree with those three statements, that we have to recognize sins, feel sorrow for our sins, and forsaking our sins. But look what it says with forsaking our sins. It says, our sincere sorrow should lead us to forsake or stop our sins. If we have stolen something, we will steal no more. If we have lied, we will lie no more. If we have committed adultery, we will stop. The Lord revealed to the prophet Joseph Smith, quoting from D&C 58:43, by this ye may know, if a man repenteth of his sins, behold, he will confess them and forsake them.
Notice how they list the biggies. What does it say? If we've lied, we'll lie no more. If committed adultery, we will stop. What about if we've been proud, we will be proud no more? How are you doing at that? I mean, that's a hard one.
Or, I mean, the beginning steps of adultery, Jesus said lust is the same thing. So,
thinking evil thoughts?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a whole gambit of things that could get you in a lot of problems. We're not discounting the fact that we should do our best to try to forsake our sin. But the problem is that a mere desire to forsake sin is not sufficient, according to Spencer Kimball. He said, desire is not sufficient. In other words, it is not real repentance until one has abandoned the error of his way and started on a new path. Someone has said that there is only one way to quit a bad habit, and that is to stop. The saving power does not extend to him who merely wants to change his life. True repentance prods one to action. And then what have we heard so many times from Latter-day Saints when we ask them, have you repented of all your sins or have you abandoned all your sins as you understand it, or at least how you're supposed to understand it? Are you keeping all the commandments as you're supposed to keep them?
Well, it's interesting. They quote on the bottom of page 111, D&C 132, and say, to make our repentance complete, we must keep the commandments of the Lord. Well, they quote President Kimball again on the bottom of 111, and here's what he says. First, you have to repent. So he says, first one repents. Having gained that ground, he must live the commandments of the Lord to retain his vantage point. This is necessary to secure complete forgiveness.
But yet when we ask a Latter-day Saint, are you doing that? They'll often say, what? Well,
I'm trying. I'm doing the best I can.
Spencer Kimball responds to that. In The Miracle of Forgiveness on page 164, he says, trying is not sufficient, nor is repentance complete when one merely tries to abandon sin. Whenever somebody says that they've tried to do something, folks, you can almost bet on it that they're using that word in the context of failure. Nobody that succeeds at something says they tried. They only say that when they failed.
One church manual says that it should be easier as you get older, that the sins should not be as tempting to you. According to Preparing for Exaltation Teacher's Manual, page 65, it says, repentance is a process that we will have to use throughout our lives. But as we become more perfect in keeping the commandments, we will do less for which we need to repent.
Wow. Kimball also states in The Miracle of Forgiveness, page 212, that an incomplete repentance never brought complete forgiveness. So you can't just get rid of some of your sins. You've got to get all of them. But before we close this chapter out, I think it's important that we look at page 113. Under the dangers of procrastinating our repentance, how many times have we had Latter-day Saints tell us, what I can't get accomplished here in this life, I'll make up for it in the next. That is not what Kimball taught, and that is not what this manual is saying. Under the dangers of procrastinating our repentance.
It says, the prophets have declared that this life is a time for men to prepare to meet God. That's from Alma 34:32. We should repent now every day. When we get up in the morning, we should examine ourselves to see whether the Spirit of God is with us. At night before we go to sleep, we should review our acts and words of the day and ask the Lord to help us recognize the things for which we need to repent. By repenting every day and having the Lord forgive our sins, we will experience the daily process of becoming perfect.
But you will not have the faith that you are forgiven as long as you find yourself repenting every day, because that also shows that you are sinning every day.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. As with most Christian organizations, Mormonism Research Ministry depends on the generous financial support of friends like you. If you like what we do and how we do it, would you consider helping MRM meet its financial obligations? Merely go to our website, mrm.org. At the right, you'll see a donate button. Click there and follow the instructions. MRM is a Christian nonprofit 501c3 organization, and your gifts are tax deductible. Not only that, they are greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support of this ministry.